Take our Bibles, please, tonight and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I want to just share some thoughts in regard to this passage of Scripture. Not too long ago, I had read through the book of Luke, and this particular passage is very powerful. And I think it's good for God's people to reflect upon our Lord's Prayer in Gethsemane and understand the weight of what he asked of his Father, his desire regarding God's will to be done, and what that often means for us. I think it's easy for us to let the words just roll over. I want God's will. Do you know what that means? I want to tell you something. I'm going to share some illustrations of what that means. When we say, I want God's will to be done, what does that mean? It doesn't mean it's going to be happy time, party time for the rest of my life. You understand that? Because when our Lord prayed this prayer, what happened next? He was betrayed and he went to the cross. All right? I want to begin reading in verse 39 of Luke chapter 22. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Isn't that interesting that that's what he asked them to pray that night? With all that was about to happen, I want you to pray. When you pray, pray that you'll enter not into temptation. When was the last time we had that prayer request? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. When was the last time? Lord, I pray right now that you'll help me not to go into temptation, to fall into a trap of sin. I would imagine that that's a prayer request that's not uttered very often. We're thinking about our list. We got to get through our list. But don't ever look at prayer time as going through your list. You've missed the whole purpose. Prayer time is time spent with God. And that means asking what He wants you to ask. And Jesus is going to ask something very serious. And then he's going to put it in a phrase that is echoed down through the centuries that needs to echo into our ears tonight and into our hearts. All right? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. That was his prayer request. Lord, Father, thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But then he said, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We know what the answer to that prayer request was, right? You're going to go to the cross. You're going to have to drink that cup. Now understand something. Remember, yes, Jesus Christ was 100% divine, but Jesus Christ was 100% human. This is a prayer request of a human. All right? Don't ever forget that about Jesus. If you try to just block out the whole humanity of Jesus Christ and only substitute the divinity, you've missed the heart and soul. He identified with me. And he didn't have to. He identified with me. He identified with you by becoming what? Human. Just like we are. And he cried out and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. That was his prayer request. That's how it all began. The Bible says he sweat drops of blood, understanding and knowing the weight of all that was about to transpire. But then he was very careful to say this, Nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. Jesus Christ was completely submitted to the will of his Father. And what did that mean? It meant going to the cross. It meant suffering, separation from his Father. It meant bearing in his body the sins of all mankind from history past to history future. He bore it all in his body. And he gave up the ghost. And 3 days later, he was resurrected from the tomb. That was all entailed in this one phrase right here. It's very important for us to see. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to the disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Now, this is a phrase that's only used in Luke. They were sleeping for what? You know, we preachers are the world's worst about reading all kinds of things. And, oh, lazy, sorry disciples. They should have been awake. I would have been awake if I was there. Right. Yeah. They were sleeping for sorrow. Their hearts were sorrowful. Why were they sorry? What were they sorrowful for? I don't know that we'll know this side of eternity. But he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into what? There's that phrase, by the way, included by Luke twice. What did he ask them to pray for? That they would enter not into temptation. And then he rebukes them. He says, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Do you realize that prayer is one of God's methods for His children to prevent ourselves from entering into temptation? You want to know why we pray? Well, we've got to get things from God. We need things from God. Yeah, we do. But one of the things that prayer is supposed to do is to teach us to communicate with Him our love to Him and communicate to Him our love for Him to do a work in us, to make us more like Him. There's this there's an exchange that takes place in prayer. And my message is not about that, but I'm emphasizing this because Jesus emphasized it with His disciples. If I had been there, I would have done the same thing that they did. I'd have fallen asleep. You see, folks, we love to lift ourselves up and think we would do different, but we wouldn't, because we're just like the disciples. We're not giant Christians walking the earth, setting examples for everybody. We're just human beings that have the same temptations that everybody else has. And if God be pleased by His grace to minister to our hearts so we don't fall into temptation, even so be it. Thank God for that. But don't ever put yourself up as an example in that regard. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. But I want us to think for just a moment. The Father's will and agenda was Jesus Christ's priority. All right? That's why He came. He came in obedience to the Father's will, we're told in the book of Hebrews. So it was the Father's will and the Father's agenda that were a priority for Jesus. Not seeking others' approval, not rushing to accomplish more miracles in His limited time on earth. He wasn't frantically traveling to every village, unlike many of us. Jesus didn't fall into the trap of needing to do all the things that some people say are required that we do. Do you realize that there were many more people that needed to be healed in Israel? Do you realize that there were many more people that needed to be saved in Israel? And Jesus wasn't able to save them all. It's very evident that He did not, because they were the ones crying, "Crucify Him!" All right? So not everybody was saved. There wasn't a great grand revival when Jesus Christ was on earth. We ever stop to think about that? That doesn't mean that we're not interested in evangelism. But I can't do more than my Lord. I can only do what I can by God's grace. And some people browbeat Christians to the point where they feel like they're this high because they don't have 25 souls saved every day. First of all, we don't save souls. Jesus saves souls. My experience with talking to people is that everybody in Milton saved. I talk to people. I'm out here at the ballpark, and I'll speak to them about their soul. Yeah, I go to church. I didn't ask you that. I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah. Yeah. My parents were Christians. They don't. It's not even processing. Not even processing. It's just repeat back the words. All right? And then whenever they come on this campus, because it's a Christian campus dedicated to the Lord, we have a church here, we have a Christian school, they immediately put on Christian language. Okay? Oh, this is such a wonderful place. Oh, this is such a wonderful place. You know, it's just like a little haven in Milton. All right? Now, do they really mean that? I don't know their hearts. But some of them, I see how they behave up in the stands. And it's a telltale sign that it's a lot of jibber-jabber. All right? It's hard to imagine waiting for the Lord instead of moving on our own. Yet Jesus often did that. He had all the answers, power, and ability to turn back time and hold death at bay simultaneously, and yet He did not. People still died when He was on the earth. You ever thought about that? People were dying. Here He was, the Lord of all creation, and yet people continued to die. Oh, He went to several funerals. He showed up at a lady whose son had died, the widow of Nain. Her husband was gone. He was dead. And her little boy was on a funeral byre going by. And the Lord Jesus Christ, out of grace, just reached up and the Bible says He touched the byre. All right? And the boy came to life. Did every child that died in Israel get raised back from the dead? No. He didn't bring them all back. Didn't heal everybody. This is an important point that I want to make here. Jesus was serious when He offered up the prayer, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." But He was also serious when He said these words, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me." How we often downplay that. Oh, He really didn't mean that. Yes, He did. But He also meant what He said following. "Nevertheless, not what I will to do, but thy will be done." What does that entail? How many of our prayers does God answer when we impatiently demand Him to versus when He deems the time is right? You know, some of us have been around a long time, and there have been desires of our heart. We've cried out to God, and sometimes it's been years of praying. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Years of praying. "Lord, why not? Why haven't we got this answer to our prayer?" we often say. Maybe the Lord is teaching us something. How often does He wait to respond until the moment when His power can be best revealed? Maybe God's waiting at that moment where His power can be best revealed and bring more glory to Himself. And we're looking at it from this side saying, we just want the prayer request answered. Right? That's how we pray. We just want the prayer request answered. And God said, "Oh, I'll reveal my power when it brings the most glory to me." And we look at that and we don't understand that. But you're not God. And neither am I. Let's go a little deeper with this. How many times in our impatience is God merely waiting for us to surrender? Us, Christians, to surrender to Him. To stop trying to solve all of our problems ourselves. Sometimes God would like for us to step aside so He can solve it. That's been a hard lesson for me to learn. There's been times, but I know what the answer is to this. Boom! Jump on it! Mess it all up. If I'd have just waited and let the Lord work it out. Isn't that thing? Sometimes we get our will ahead of God's will. And we think, "Oh, I know the answer to that." You know what I have found out? There is no such thing as a book of answers. How many of you have a Strong's Concordance? All right? How many of you have a Knave's Topical Bible? All right? And you go in there and you look up different things, and boy, there's all kinds of Bible verses and so on. I have yet to find the book of answers to all life's questions. Because you know what I found out? That sometimes the way God deals in this situation, and then a very similar situation comes along, God doesn't necessarily do it the same way He did back there. You know why? There's a difference. He has another way He wants to bring glory to Himself. God is not a cookie-cutter God. We like things to be chop, 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 chop. We're like the Lucy Show when they were doing the chocolate thing coming down there. You know, gathering them up. But that's how we want it to be. Everything the same. God doesn't work that way, Christian. And the sooner you learn that lesson and the sooner I learn that lesson, the better off we'll be. A couple aches to have a child and start a family. But the child God has doesn't come for 5, sometimes 10 years. Is that hard? Y'all still out there? Yeah. That's hard, isn't it? I have had couples in my office weeping, wanting a child so desperately, just weren't able to have one. And so they explored other avenues about the possibility. And then, down the road a ways, a baby comes. Or maybe it is an adoption that comes. Why, Lord? Why did it happen this way? God wants to bring glory to Himself in whatever way He chooses. Think about it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Are you seeing the picture that I'm trying to paint for you here? What that entails? What that means? We go to a birthday party for several kids, and we put our child in a swing with no thought. Within just a few moments, my whole life is going to be completely changed. That's what Sunshine and Todd did at a birthday party when they put little Neum in a swing. And he's out there swinging, and the branch breaks and comes down on top of him. Sunshine said that two paramedics broke down in tears when they came up on the scene and saw that little boy crushed underneath that branch. And their whole life has changed. I told my wife, I had a tough time sleeping last night. The last image that I had on my mind was Nahum's Facebook picture. They did a tracheotomy on him yesterday, and they removed all the tubes out of his mouth that had been in there for 3 weeks. For the first time, his little mouth was closed. After being wide open for 3 weeks, his tongue had swollen. They knew that they had to get those tubes out, and so they said, can we put a trach in there and hook him up to a monitor and a breathing apparatus, and that will take care of him if he begins to fail with breathing and so forth. And I looked at that little boy's face, and it kept coming back to me last night. And you know what Bible verse kept coming up? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Sunshine and Todd both had written about they realized this was part of God's will, God's plan. It had been very easy to blame the devil. The devil did it. We are conditioned in churchianity. Everything bad happens, that's the devil, that's the devil, that's the devil. I'm going to tell you something. Was Jesus Christ work on the cross? Jesus Christ becoming flesh? Was that just the devil that required all that? Well, it was sin. But God's will was performed. Because God could have just said, I'm done with humanity. Son, Holy Spirit, we're going to start again somewhere else and wipe the whole face of the world off the map. Could He have done that? What was His will? I'm going to save them. I'm going to send my only begotten Son to die on Calvary. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What is required sometimes? For Sunshine and Todd, their whole world has been turned upside down. They have a large family. They have a lot of children. And she was talking about the fact of how much they wanted little Nahum when he was born. And now they don't know what's going to happen. There's been some slight movement on his part, and maybe God in his grace will just allow him to come out of this and he'll be perfectly fine. Or maybe God will take him home. Or maybe God will leave him in a vegetated state for the rest of his life. Do you still love God? Can you still say, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but thine be done"? You see, wanting God's will, folks, is not just a glib statement that we just throw out there when we want to feel religious. You understand this? This has been how God's been working in my heart and life. How many times have I uttered the words, "Well, Lord, you just do what your will. We want your will." What does that mean? Does that mean that, you know what I think most of the time, that God's just going to make everything all right and it's going to be okay and it all go back to normal again? And we all know that that doesn't happen all the time. But He's still my Lord. He's still the one that loved me and sent His Son to die for me. Can I honestly say, "Not my will, but thine be done"? I think it's good for us to back it up a little bit and examine what we're saying. I don't mean to say that, don't ever say that again. What I'm saying is this: understand what the words entail. It may mean a complete change of life for you or for me. That's what it may mean. Be prepared for that. We want financial blessing, but God wants us to learn stewardship with the little He has placed in our hands. Can we say, "Not my will, but thine be done"? Can we say that? How about this? We desire to see nations and people groups come to Christ, but instead He points us to our home, our neighbors, our workplace. Can we deal with the fact that there'll be little recognition for that? That God has called us into this frame of work? Can we be willing to do that? I often thought, during my years at college, I used to go to Mission Prayer Band on a regular basis, and I went to different places. The first place I went was Asia, because I knew the Johnsons and the Threlfalls, and I knew all the folks that were there at that particular time. The oldest Johnson boy, Ken Johnson, and his wife Rhonda were in country. They were actually taking courses at Bob Jones University, and I grew up knowing their names. We went to their house here in Milton. They came to our house, knew their names, and I often thought about, maybe the Lord would have me to go to Asia. Then I saw their language. And I said, "Lord, I'm having a tough time with English. And this doesn't look like anything I can learn." And I realized that God was not calling me. He was not calling me to Asia. I remember Dr. Hobbs used to tell about a young man that told him in college one time, he said, "At night I hear the little pitter-patter of Japanese feet telling me to come to Japan." All right? Well, maybe he did, or maybe it was his dog running back and forth in the house. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know this. That doing God's will and having God's will performed in our lives often entails difficulty and sorrow and hardship. And do we realize that when we say, "Not my will, but thine be done"? Go a little further with this. We desire for people to come to Christ, and yet we're totally unwilling to witness to somebody in our neighborhood. Can we say, "Not my will, but thine be done"? While God may want to give us all the things that we desire, we can expect Him to do what pleases Him. You understand that about God? One thing I can expect Him, He's going to do what pleases Him. And I don't know what pleases Him. The Bible says faith pleases Him. Isn't that interesting? Of all the words in the Bible, it says faith pleases Him. What does He want me to do? Trust Him. Rest in Him. That's the key. You know, John records the words from John 5:19, the latter part of that verse. It says, "The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." You talk about complete submission to the Father's will. Notice this. The Son can do nothing of Himself. How much? A little louder, please. Nothing. Kind of hard to say that, isn't it? The Son can do nothing of Himself. That's what He said. But what He seeth the Father do. You know, it's an amazing thing to watch children with their parents. You know, you can tell, I've been around the ballpark long enough, and I've been around Christian education in this area long enough, I can recognize people's kids by how they look. I can look at them, I say, I know your granddaddy. Okay? You can look at their face, you can see the features, I know your grandparents. It used to be, I know your daddy, and before that, I didn't know anything. All right? When I started out with baseball, but now I've been around a long time, and I start seeing these kids come up, and I got reacquainted with a couple I hadn't seen in probably 25 years. And we were out there just talking and carrying on and so forth like that. He used to coach in the late 1980s when I first started. He said, "Todd, I remember you. You were skinny as a rail and nobody ever listened to you." I said, "Thank you very much. I appreciate that." But I said, "You were right. I was just fresh out of college, green as green could be." He said, "And you're still here. Nobody ran you off." And I said, "That's just the Lord's doing. That's just the Lord's doing." And we talked about it. And I looked at the little child that's playing preteen. And I looked at the child and I said, "That's Clay. That's Clay." I haven't said Clay's name in 25 years. But it just came to my mind, that's Clay's child. Face that you could not put on anybody else's. All right? I'm not being mean or nasty or anything like that. But you can tell. You can tell. And my point is this. Jesus says, "I do what the Father says to do. I don't do what I want to do. I do what the Father tells me to do." And then He goes on to say, "For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Children follow their parents. Children, young children especially, mimic their parents. Better remember that, parents. We tell parents at school, "Hey, we won't believe half of what your kids say if you don't believe what they say about us when they go home." Because they'll say something to the parent, boy, they get all upset and say, "Well, we won't. But they've been saying some things about your home life, but we're not going to talk about it. You promised not to." And it's all of a sudden, yeah. We have to remember that about children. Here is where my will must bow to God's will. This is at this particular point. You know, we talk a lot about our human will. We talk a lot about what we can do. You hear people all say, "We need to do this, we need to do that." You know what the Christian needs to do? What God wants. You need to get used to that. Yes, our will is powerful, but the Bible says that our will is to be subject to His will. I remember, I don't know when it was or who I heard it from, but someone attacked the idea of praying to God, asking God to help us do things. That we ought not to ask God to help us to do things. And yet, let me just share with you what I read just the other day in Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. This just hit me out of the blue whenever I was reading through these words. And then I started doing a little bit of study and found out these are causative verbs. Notice what David said. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law." Verse 35, "Make me to go into the path of Thy commandments." Who are we asking? It's God to make me go in His paths. to give me understanding, to teach me. Verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. And I could easily say, that I've got a will to do that. Well, you should. But you know why? Because I want God's power to do it. Because if I depend on my flesh, it won't get done. I need God's power. Lord, make my eyes. Incline my heart. Turn my eyes away from beholding vanity. Verse 38, establish thou thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear. Verse 40, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Those are all, there's eight of them, eight causative verbs asking God to do something in me or with me or to make me. Now how will that happen? When I shut up about my will and get it submitted to God's will. Pardon the use of shut up there, but I got to make a point here that's very strong. Your will is no good until it's submitted to God's will. That's a hard thing to say, but it's true. It comes right out of the Scriptures. Was Jesus perfect? And what did He ask His Father? Father, take this cup from me. Was Jesus wrong? No, He was not. It was a simple understanding. God's will, my will submitted to His will. If it had been a matter of just Jesus' will, all right, what would have happened? Well, He had completely submitted Himself to the Father's will. But it is interesting to note this about His humanity, that He asked the Father that if it pleased Him to remove this cup, do so. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want us to understand what that phrase means. It means for me to bow my will to His will. And to understand that I have all kinds of ideas and plans and ambitions and things of that nature. But the greatest thing that I can do is follow my Lord in obedience to the Father's will, whatever that entails. Life transformative is part of God's plan to make me into a vessel that He wants me to be. And He knows that's the only way He's going to be able to make me into that vessel. By bringing this trial into my life, bringing this struggle into my life. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd stir our hearts tonight. It's so easy to glibly say, not my will, but thy will be done. What does that entail? Sometimes it may entail trouble and trial and heartache. And an event that forever transforms the family life into something we never anticipated it being. Oh, we could go through the list in the Bible of those that went through similar struggles, and it was all part of Your will. Help us, dear Lord, to submit ourselves to Thy will, understanding that it may take us places we would never go on our own. It may cause us to have to handle things that we would never want to on our own. But thankfully, we have the Almighty God with us every step of the way. And we pray, dear Father, that You would help us to rest in Thee, knowing that truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.